We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of No Other Pod.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Other Pod. I'm Jimmy, along with my good buddy, Mr. Yeet, Daniel Fuser. Dan, what's going on, my friend? Oh, no Yeet. Okay. We're going to lose.
Man, life is good, dude. It was a weird weekend, man. I want to acknowledge this right off the bat. My buddies went to separate soccer games. Mm-hmm. They chose their allegiance, and it happened to work out. Hold on. It happened to work out to who went to which game is who does that version of our podcast.
Yeah.
And me, I went to both games. I went to the first half of KC Current and got there about 15 minutes into the SKC game. And it's like, because I do both podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I think my subconscious is just trying to tell me that that's the natural order.
I think so. I saw a wild tweet from, I think it was a weather person. I forget which weather person, but they're like, is anybody trying to do the Kansas City trifecta? Because the Royals first pitch was 6:10, and then the Current kicked off at 6:30, and then Sporting 7:30. I was like, what crazy person is trying to go from Kauffman for 20 minutes to catch 20 minutes of the Current to then get into Sporting for the second half? That's a lot.
But we did it the best way, man, by like waiting until halftime of Current. Now you have half. You're not going to miss any of the game, you know?
How long did it take you to get from CPKC to Children's Mercy Park?
22 minutes.
Okay. Because I saw, not putting him on blast, Daniel Sperry for the KC Star, said he got press box to press box in like 31 minutes.
Did he leave at halftime?
I think so. But
okay. I didn't really include
to and from
I didn't
cars.
Include walk. Yeah, I didn't include that, I guess.
That's pretty fast.
He's probably including walking in there.
Yeah, but that's pretty fast to get from a press box, walk to your car, get in the car, drive to another stadium park, get in your car, get to the press box, 31 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Did he still have a seat?
He did. There were a lot of people in the press box.
Yeah?
So it was
got a that one. Got that messy glow up, man. We got the messy rub.
Well, whenever St. Louis comes to town, you always know it's going to be a entertaining, I guess you could say, match.
I got to say, there was the only person that was in our seats when we got there. I was surprised. I was like, I only feel bad because I'm going to kick someone out of their seat, and that sucks. But we get down there, and there's a single guy in our seats, and he actually had the seat two seats down, and he just moved down because no one was there.
Yeah.
So he was St. Louis guy, but he was next to Marissa the whole time, and boy, my wife was trolling.
Was she really?
I mean, she was on one. She was talking to this guy, and then she threw in these little comments that just had to have made him feel this big. And she goes, have you been a longtime fan of St. Louis? And he's like, well, just since they've become a club. And she didn't know that it was not the USL team converted.
Right.
That they are two different sides. And she goes, oh, so just 2 years you've been a fan of the league and everything? Essentially saying little baby boy, little baby donkey brain boy.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Pretty good.
They brought, I don't know, I would say 500, maybe 400 or 500 people. That's more than most teams typically bring because, it's a quick little drive and they were loud and it's always a good environment. They really, really do think they are on to, peak comedy by calling us Sporting Kansas and continuing to talk about how the stadium's in Kansas.
You know that goes away, though, if you do not pay attention to them.
I know. I just think it's hilarious that, like, even at this point now, even the official St. Louis City account is saying, like, hey, you know, St. Louis City versus Kansas in all lower caps. And they're like, hey, we're here at the stadium. And they put up a picture of Nebraska Furniture Mart. And I'm like, y'all realize this has been a thing for, what, 13 years now? Like, you're not clever. You're not new. Nobody cares.
Can you imagine if you just, like, if no one just interacted with that post, though, and it just, like, totally bombed, and then the social media person starts feeling bad, and they delete it real fast because they're embarrassed?
Well, I just, like, I don't know. It's just, it's not even, like, I don't get bothered by it anymore. I think I'm just confused where I'm, like, they really, I think they actually think that they've, like, invented a new form of comedy with this, and they think that they really do, they're really onto something. And, like, I don't know, I guess you grew up in this area. I feel like at a certain point there was a bit more of, like, a Kansas-Missouri rivalry, like, across, even across, like, state lines, whatnot. In the last 10 years that I've been here, like, there might be a little joke here or there, but, like, I feel like the KC Metro as a whole, like, they don't really give a shit if you're on the Missouri side or the Kansas side or whatever, unless it comes to where the Chiefs are going to play. But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't care if something's in Overland Park or Independence or Lee Summit or Olathe or whatever. Like, it's all part of the Metro. So it just, it confuses me. But they
it's weird. Yeah, the territorial thing is very weird. But there's also a lot of people that that don't play into that. And those are the grown-ups. And we just mind our fucking business.
Well, it's, you know, even to an extent, LAFC, there's kind of some parallels to what LAFC would do with the Galaxy, because the Galaxy play in a part of LA called Carson. And so LAFC plays in downtown Los Angeles, and they were like, we're the only LA team, you know, we're going to Carson today. And I'm like, this is stupid. Like, the LA County, LA metro area, you know, obviously it's all in California, but there's some parallels because, you know, they were trying to stake claim to, we're the only LA team, and St. Louis, fucking 4 hours away, is trying to be like, we're the only Missouri team and claim the World Cup or whatnot, even though it's in Kansas City. It's stupid. I hate it. But
you're the guy who puts a lot into it, though. You're like, oh, I hate this so much. What if you just didn't hate it, though? What if you just, like,
I mean,
total apathy from it, you know?
At this point, I think it's more just kind of, like, last year I was, like, annoyed, like, this is dumb. This year I think it's more just, like, I notice it, and I'm like, oh, they're still doing this. Like, they still think they're funny. Like, that's, I would have moved on by now. But did you see, I don't know if you saw, Kevincho, he tweeted something that confused me at first, because I didn't see what the original tweet was about. But I saw his tweet. He put up something that was like, my four-year-old dog loves watching this club, but I had to turn the game off. This Sporting KC crowd loves the F word. Disgusting. I thought this was a family program. And I was like, well, okay, I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe he's making a joke. But there was a St. Louis fan.
Bro, sorry, your door just moved.
That's my cat.
It's trying to get in?
Yeah, she's trying to break in.
Bro, it was like in the corner of your screen, and I was like, dude, you got ghosts.
Yeah, she's trying to break in. I see her right there. She's unhappy. I picked her up before recording.
Thought my boy had some ghosts. I'm so sorry.
But so Kevincho tweeted that, and I was like, what's happening? There's a St. Louis City fan who, like, legitimately complained and tagged Sporting KC and MLS. My seven-year-old son loves watching this club, but I had to turn the game off because the at Sporting KC crowd loves the F word. Disgusting. Huh? I thought this was a family program.
Wait, hold on. So this was at MLS? Person?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I hope we really got to fix that. That's just, dude, that's so fucking ridiculous.
It's, I also didn't hear in stadium. I didn't.
How? How did you hear anything?
Maybe they had a mic on TV, like, right by a particular guy, but
one guy. It's one guy who's just saying fuck over and over.
Fuck St. Louis.
Fuck.
Fuck that guy's 7-year-old son.
Fuck family.
I don't know. It's so funny to me because, I mean, you go to a sporting event, you go to a Chiefs game, you go to any game, you go to a St. Louis City game, you're probably going to hear profanity. That's kind of what happens.
Like, it's part of the world. And how about you stop giving those words meaning and just use them as regular ass words anyway?
So when you got to the game, it was what? I don't know. 10 minutes into the game is when you got there. Right? It was right before 15, Alan Pulido scored, right? So he scored in the 17th minute. So what was the, like, when we were there before the game, they did like their little light show and such, but St. Louis was loud. Sporting fans were loud. I felt like the first 15 minutes of the game or so, it was relatively even, but St. Louis was kind of bossing people on the Sporting side off the ball. When you got over there by the St. Louis crowd, what was the vibe from the St. Louis fans that you were near?
Oh, I mean, they were pretty, I don't know, they kept cheering, right? They just keep cheering, so that's cool. They just kept standing.
Yeah. But were they like arrogant? Because I feel like St. Louis fans, they come in here and like it kind of goes hand in hand with their like, we're the only team in Missouri fans. They kind of come in with this like arrogant air that I think was exacerbated by the fact that they started first place last year.
But we all have those stupid fans that like call for a yellow card when it was clearly not that malicious or whatever. They're like, oh, that was a regular foul. That's a yellow card. And it's like, yeah. It's not.
Although last night, I do think we're recording this on a Sunday, by the way. So that's what I said last night. The referee felt like he let the game get very physical, very fast, and was not doing a very good job controlling things. I don't know if you felt the same thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, for one, I was like, are we still using scab refs? Like,
that's I kind of felt that way.
And I was like, okay, I hope he's consistent because they are like barreling over us, hitting us, taking the ball, going on the other end and scoring. And then we get called for these little sissy fouls. And I'm like, dude, the consistency, like your strike zone's all over the place, bro. I don't know what to do.
There was not a yellow card shown until 7 minutes into stoppage time in the first half, and it was to Daniel Shallowy for dissent because he finally had enough. And he was like, these dudes are literally barreling over us. You're not doing anything.
He was yelling.
And calling a foul. Yeah, he was.
He got yellow carded for yelling?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, it's stupid. Alan Chapman, I don't think, had a good... I'm not going to necessarily say that's why Sporting Kansas City lost, because this has happened multiple times, or excuse me, didn't lose. That's why Sporting Kansas City dropped points and drew. But I do think the physicality of the game, especially in the first half, seemed to catch Sporting Kansas City off guard. And I think they were hoping that the referee would do more to curb it, and he didn't. And they didn't really seem to adjust all that well.
He didn't at all. And I also forget that side judges can't call fouls because I don't know who it was. Willie Agata just got plowed over for that ball on the west side.
Klaus, yeah.
The line judge was right there, and Shallowy was in that ass. Shallowy was letting him hear it. Yeah. And then that line judge did call a foul later on in the game against us. I was like, I guess he can call fouls. What is happening?
It was wild. Overall, I do not think the referees had a good game. They were very much risking losing control of the game in its entirety.
So why aren't we physical enough, though? Like, that's the question here today. We let them push us around.
And it took until halftime.
Gary Shelton would never.
Actually, you know, you were not the first person to tell me that that was the game that Kyrie Shelton could have been useful in.
Could have been real useful.
Unironically. And I'm not trying to troll people who aren't Kyrie fans or whatever.
If you know, you know. That's all you would have to say.
It's just Kyrie is a large body, physical presence. You know, especially when we had a one goal lead late in the game, when you don't necessarily need to, I mean, yes, a second goal would have killed the game. That could have been a perfect Kyrie opportunity. Now, it's hard to put him in there because he hasn't made an appearance, come back from an injury. Who knows what his exact fitness is? But I saw, you know, Mike Kuhn from down the byline. We quote him a lot because he's got such a breadth of history of Sporting Kansas City. What he said, and I agree with this is the type of game that needed a Roger Espinoza just to get in the midfield and get a yellow card or put some sort of physical presence into the midfield. Yeah. Because I love Voltaire. I love Radia. I want to talk more about Polito in the midfield because it's not going that well, but none of the three of them are that physical enforcer type presence. And it just felt like St. Louis was just crushing us. And it took until halftime to finally make an adjustment.
Oh, we were playing finesse and they were playing Smash Mouth. I mean, Smash Mouth prevailed. And you know what? I gotta take that back. No one won. No one won this game, but it sure does feel like they won, doesn't it?
This is one of those games where, like, and it's kind of weird because if you look at the advanced statistics, they probably feel like they should have won. 20 shots to 7.
Probably.
7 shots on goal to 3. Expected goals for them, 1.9 to 0.9 for us. So they probably are like, well, yeah, we should have won the game. But when Sporting Kansas City has a lead heading into stoppage time and then they put up 3 minutes of stoppage time up and you're thinking, okay, surely we can see out 3 minutes and then to give up an equalizer the way we did.
How did that happen?
It was very frustrating.
How did that? It was Tim Leibold over there, wasn't it? Sliding across the way.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all these goals and I saw shades of Jake Davis leaving his feet again. This is the same thing that Peter just talked about a couple weeks ago. So we'll talk about all the goals and everything.
There were a lot of goals in that city yesterday in this game, in the women's game. I mean, what was it? Set seven? It was 13 total goals between the two games.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, there was some entertaining soccer, and both games were sold out, which is awesome. I mean, I know some people have double season tickets, like yourself, for both Kansas City Current and Sporting Kansas City, but they were able to find people to use them if they couldn't go. I know a couple people. Our producer Nick, he made it out to his first Current game. My boss Cody, he made it out to his first Current game. So there's a lot of people that got to experience the Current for the first time, because people who couldn't use their seats because they went to Sporting KC were able to give them to people. So hopefully this continues to build fan base for Kansas City soccer, both men's and women's. Okay. So let's go ahead and take our break before we jump on in to discussing the rest of the game. So we'll be right back.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs, straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Dude, so let's just jump right back into this. If you think about it, this was one of the best and entertaining games for like a casual viewer.
Oh,
like
for sure.
Fandom away, and it's like, what an exciting fucking game.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that last night as I was driving home. I was incredibly frustrated at how things went, and I was thinking over some of the post-game quotes that we'll talk about and trying to make sense of them. And then I was like, you know, if I was a neutral watching at home, and that game happened, I would have been so entertained. I would have just absolutely loved it.
And that's the thing, right? Even as a Sporting player or a fan, you want to be like, we're scoring so many goals. And then it's like, oh, wait, but we're also giving up so many goals.
Yeah.
Scary, man. It's I want to be excited, but there's still something missing.
There is. Well, and you know, this isn't a problem that's just isolated to this one game. If you look at...
Peter's not worried about it.
Well, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But The Athletic put up an article earlier this week where it was basically like they did some advanced statistics and looking at how did the offense look compared to last year across the league, how does defense look compared to last year across the league. And Sporting Kansas City's offense has gotten a little bit better compared to last year, which is good. Moved in a positive direction. Defense has gotten markedly worse since last year, in terms of goals added on the defensive side versus goals added in the attack. So this is something that has become a trend across the year for Sporting Kansas City, in that silly defensive mistakes are giving up significant points. I actually, before we jump into the game, I went through, because I keep saying it's been like four or five games that this has happened. We've dropped a lot of points. So I went through before the podcast and I looked at home games only. How many points have we dropped from a winning position? March 2nd, we were
like one but two.
Yeah. Yes. March 2nd, 1-0 lead on Philadelphia, gave up a goal in the 95th minute. There's 2 points. Galaxy, leading 2-0. We gave up 3 goals in a 7-minute span. Lost, gave up 3 points. Portland, April 7th, had a 3-0 lead. Gave up 3 goals after we missed a penalty kick after the 64th minute. Lost 2 points. There's the Miami game, April 13th. We led 1-0, came back and drew level, and then gave up a stupid go-ahead goal after the 71st minute. Lost 3 points from a winning position. And then April 20th against St. Louis, we led 1-0. Then we led 3-2, gave up a go-ahead goal in the final minute of the game. 2 points. So across 5 home games where we were winning, we have dropped 12 points. 12 points across 5 games. That's more than two points per game that we've dropped, which
That puts us 7 points clear of the second place Vancouver there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
We'd be the Supporters Shield winners if we could just see out leads at home.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude.
And these are all in the last 25 minutes of the game, and multiple of them are in the last 10 minutes of the game. It's just, this is a feature, not a bug for this team at this point. And so that's why, you know, again, we'll go through all of the goals and such here. But, you know, when Peter's asked about dropping points at home, and his quote was, "I think you guys are all focused on that. Maybe you missed the game because when you watch games like this, they're entertaining. Do we want to be on that side of it? No. But it's the same thing when we go away and we play at Toronto and we score 3 goals. It happens." And then he continues to talk about it. And at the end, he finishes, "You guys are worried about it. I'm not." And I think...
yeah, still early, but it just looks bad.
It is. It is still early. But I think it would be one thing if this was an isolated incident. But when they've played, 7 home games this year, I think? Something like that. And when 5 of them, you drop points from a winning position... it's not like this just happened once or twice. This is a trend that has happened over multiple games. So I think it's fair for fans to be concerned. And one thing about Peter, it can be a both positive and a negative with Peter. He is very committed to his convictions, and he's not going to let outside pressure really change him. But I think sometimes he maybe is a little bit dismissive of what are some real concerns of fans and of a perception, because from a business standpoint, if fans are already concerned about Peter Vermes as a coach, which that conversation has happened a couple times over the last couple of years, and then they see him being sort of dismissive of, well, we've dropped 12 points across 5 games, we should be leading the league, it's just not good optics, I don't think. So I don't know.
I mean, it's night and day, though, from his worry to, like, Johnny's press conference, where he sounded just very frustrated, you know, not really expressing, like, this shouldn't be happening. We lived through last year. So.
Sure. It's, we'll get into all those quotes maybe after the goals. But what I will say is, it's been a while since I've walked into a locker room, and it kind of felt that deflated. There was an air of defeat that was over the Sporting KC locker room.
How do you do that? How do you approach it? You know, because players are different after a game on the result. How are you, depending on the result? Like, how do you approach questions in a win, and how do you approach them in a pretty bad loss?
I mean, you have to think about how you phrase them, for sure. You can't go, you know, after a win, you can go in there, you can be a little bit loose. You can throw in some joking questions. You get them to laugh. Like last time we were there interviewing Robbie Volader, after a win, like, Eric Tommy was there pretending to be a media member, and I think I asked a question. I was like, "Oh, what's it like to have such a good leader on this team like Eric Tommy?" And Eric was like, "Yeah, that's a good question." And so, like, it's a little bit looser, and you can get a little bit more personality out of them. After a loss like this, I mean, you better be pretty deliberate with how you word questions, because you don't want to sound accusatory and blaming, but at the same time, you want to get real answers, and you just rely on the club communications and media staff to help facilitate that. So, like, I don't walk right up to Eric Tommy as soon as I walk into the locker room and be like, "Hey, answer my questions." We'll usually tell the press officer, "Hey, here's who we want to talk to." He goes and talks to them, gets them ready, and then we come over.
Gotcha. So you're not just going around picking someone while they're changing their drawers and everything?
No, they usually try to get them to put a shirt on. Players don't always do it, but usually they're like, "Put a shirt on, like, look halfway presentable."
Gosh, no nips. No nips on interviews.
lineup, you know, this was not terribly dissimilar than what we've seen over the last couple weeks. Alan Pulido at the 10, Willy Agata at the number 9. It looked like it worked really well the first time.
It was last week, right?
Yeah. It looked like it worked well the first time that we had a Nagata-Polito combination. Last couple games, doesn't seem like it's been firing on all cylinders. I mean, that first goal was gorgeous where they had a little combination. But outside of that, I'm not sure Polito's the style of attacking midfielder that we really need right now, because he's just, he doesn't have the same energy that somebody like Tommy does.
Yeah, why not, like, try to switch him, though? I mean, that, like, maybe put Agata there and put Polito up top and just see what happens, because other teams are going to, you know, figure out, they're going to study it after a couple games and be like, okay, that's defendable.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, man, it's I like it. I think having those two, star strikers on there can be beneficial to us.
It can be. I just want to see Polito involved more. Now, this first goal, the first goal that Sporting Kansas City had in the 17th minute was just absolutely gorgeous and beautiful, because it all started with a wonderful Tim Leibold steal. And Leibold had a wonderful little give and go with Shallowy to break Leibold down the left side. And then Polito has his wonderful little combination play with Agata. And quite frankly, I'm not quite sure how Agata got the ball off as well as he did to Polito. And Polito slots it past Berkey. 17th minute, 1-0 lead. I could argue that's the most beautiful goal Sporting KC scored all year. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And you got there just to see it.
Dude, it's so funny. KC Current scored their first goal right when I got to my seats. It was wild. So much so Chris was like, you missed it. And I was like, literally just saw it. It was crazy. And then we walked into the SKC game right when Polito was scoring. It was just, it was bizarre. What a wild evening.
So what that tells me is you just have to be the one that's there,
dude,
to instigate goals.
Sometimes weird stuff around me happens. I'm not going to say I'm a witch, but I think I have like witchy powers sometimes.
Witchy powers?
Not even playing around, dude.
What other witchy powers do you have?
Listen, sometimes it might be like weird subconscious, but I'll be watching a movie and I'll just start to talk about like where this movie's going or something, and then it happens. Then it's like said immediately.
That's funny.
It's just weird. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, maybe it is you. Maybe you need to show up and start manifesting better things to happen. Because
witchy adjacent. That's a good way to put it.
Witchy adjacent. So yeah, 1-0, 17th minute. Feeling pretty good, because I'm like, okay, if we get a, you know, one or two goal lead, we probably at least have to do that given how things have gone before. But I was feeling cautiously optimistic, but I also knew, like I'd said before, St. Louis was just bossing people off the ball left and right throughout much of the first half. So I was a little worried how that would go, and then it all just kind of manifested in the 31st minute. Joao Klaus, he gets the ball after there was potentially a foul right in front of the AR where Leibold gets shoved off the ball. Joao Klaus gets a first time goal. When that goal was scored, I saw Fontes, I saw Shallowy, I saw Leibold immediately run to the AR, and they were just laying into him because they thought that there wasn't a play on the ball by Durkin. He just kind of elbowed into Tim Leibold and should have been a foul. I don't know.
Messed up, too. Listen, a lot of people ask me, like, why are your seats over there in the middle of the St. Louis supporters? Well, believe it or not, it's kind of a fun experience for me. And you hear a lot of the emotions. It feels like a behind enemy lines type mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. But I also get to feel their energy. But one thing that really sucked last night was that whenever we just got clobbered and there was no called,
mm-hmm.
they were bitching about the smallest calls, like it was clearly a foul, and they called it. I'm like, what are you even talking about, bro? Like,
right.
We're getting hosed over here.
Well, and that's one of the things that tends to frustrate me about fans, even sometimes Sporting fans, when they're complaining about referees. It's like, you're going to remember the ones that go against you, but they don't typically remember the ones that go your direction. I thought the referee overall last night was just kind of poor. I think he was inconsistent. Yeah.
He is a veteran.
Chapman's been around for a long time. He was letting things go that I think arguably were not plays on the ball. He was inconsistent in when and how he gave yellow cards. He went from letting almost everything go to suddenly there was like a 10-minute span where he started calling very ticky-tack stuff and then kind of went back to letting things go again.
Well, he's had a lot of time off. The whole little strike thing, you know, he's had a little break. He's a little rusty.
I think, there were some people that are like, I thought we got rid of the replacement reps.
Yeah, we got to get he's got to dust the cobwebs off and try to remember how to do this. Getting too old for this shit.
Yeah. It was very frustrating. And then right before the first half ended, again, I was, you know, gorgeous tackle from Tim Leibold to steal the ball away from a break. Willie Agata is trying to find the ball in the space. And again, this time it's Joao Klaus. He comes and shoulder checks Willie Agata like it's a goddamn NHL game. And at this point,
was it Agata the first time too?
No, it was not Agata the first
time. Oh, it was Leibold.
It was Leibold the first time.
Yeah.
This one, I would argue, is even worse than the Leibold one because
he didn't play the ball at all.
The Leibold one, the ball was near his feet. I would still argue that Durkin didn't play the ball. With the Agata one, when Klaus makes contact with Agata, the ball is more than a yard away from where Agata is. There was zero attempt to play the ball. Chapman said it shoulder to shoulder. Now, what's unfortunate, in my view, is the only reason it's shoulder to shoulder is because Agata had to turn so he didn't get run the fuck over, you know, shoulder to chest. Because if he just would have let it happen, then it would have been a penalty. So Agata's natural instinct of self-preservation to kind of be like, oh shit, there's a dude barreling down on me, I'm going to turn and brace, is apparently the reason that Chapman said, nope, it's shoulder to shoulder, it's a fair play. And then freaking Klaus finds Pompeu, and Pompeu, it's a good shot. He beats Melia, but it never should have happened because it should have been a foul.
Klaus is a pretty good player, though, isn't he?
When he's on, he's real
good. Yeah, he's real aggressive, man. And that's like, he's like a, looks like a father. Like he's kind of balding up there a little bit, but he's still out here at his rec team scoring bangers, you know?
Scoring goals.
On a Saturday morning for his rec team.
Yeah. So halftime, it's 2-1. I wasn't feeling good at halftime. I didn't think we had the physicality to respond to this team.
I didn't either, because we've been real scared when we get hit in the mouth a little bit. We're like, oh no, they scored on us. How do we respond?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, when Johnny Russell came into the game in the 54th minute, Willie Agata came out. That kind of shifted things around a little bit, and I think that helped quite a bit because Polito was not being effective in the midfield. So Russell comes in. He's on the right wing. Tommy goes to the midfield, kind of opened the game up a little bit more. 65th minute. They're calling this an own goal, which I think is probably the right thing, although it's a little bit hard done to Berkey. Shallowy, he gets the ball along the touchline. I don't think he was shooting. I think he was trying to set it back post because Rosario was crashing the back post. Berkey tips it, and it just sneaks in the far side. Kind of came out of nowhere. So suddenly, when it felt like all hope was lost, and if anything, it felt like St. Louis was going to be the one to maybe get a third goal, Sporting Kansas City ties it 2-2, and that kind of had a renewed sense of invigoration after that.
No, it felt good. And how about, it is an own goal. Because if Daniel says he was shooting, then we have a conversation about it not being an own goal. But come on, I don't think he was shooting.
I think his intent was to send it to the far post. And
it was still cool, though.
But it was great.
You know, you were like this, kind of looking down the way, squinting your eyes. Did that go in?
Mm-hmm.
It was wild.
And then 77th minute, I mean, just let's give some flowers to Andreu Fontas for this pass, because this pass, absolutely unreal. Tommy times his run beautifully. He springs the ball. When I saw Tommy, I actually said audibly to somebody sitting next to me, when Fontas sprung Tommy for this ball and he was on his breakaway, I saw Shallowy running, and I said out loud, I was like, this is it. And then Tommy took it himself. And he just puts this ball away masterfully, and he gave Sporting Kansas City a 3-2 lead. It was gorgeous.
Outstanding. I mean, and you're thinking, dude, just lock this up. Let's get out of here. You know what I mean? This is a rivalry game. Shit's getting nuts, man. Don't let anything else happen.
Right.
Like, we're feeling good, right?
Right, for sure. Now, I think we did this last week as well, but I want to give a shout-out to Eric Tommy once again, because Eric Tommy has been putting this team on his back and carrying them from an offensive standpoint. And it was after he switched into the midfield, things opened up a little bit more. So I would like to give the Holiday Distillery toast of the match to Eric Tommy. And this week, I got a little bit of their lemon vodka here. And I got a little blueberry Topo Chico that I put some of that in. And I got myself a nice little summer cocktail on a day where it's 56 degrees outside. So,
oh my goodness, look at this guy.
Yeah, Holiday Distillery, toast of the match. Eric Tommy,
fancy son of a bitch. You need some kind of like Kentucky Derby hat on or something.
A little fedora and, you know, a floral shirt.
And probably a pipe or something.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Eric Tommy, man, he's just been, far and away, I think he's been the MVP of this team so far.
Look, there's so many good players on our team like him that I really want us to, like, win a trophy for. Like, thank you. You've been real excellent, and you've made us, you know, create some real excellent moments. Like, let's get these people a trophy, you know? Like Daniel Shalloway before he gets older and gets out of here. Like,
Tim Melia, Johnny Russell.
Yeah, Tim Melia, man. It's Johnny's getting hurt every other time. It's, I just want, like, they deserve it. And I'm getting sentimental right now.
They put 3 minutes up of stoppage time, which I actually, they put seven up in the first half. And I was like, where the hell did 7 minutes come from? That felt like forever. So yeah. I thought there'd be at least seven in the second half. They put seven up in the first half. They put three up in the second half. And I'm like, okay, we might be able to do this. Because I thought if they put like 7 to 10 up, I was like, yeah, they're probably going to score. 3 minutes, we can weather.
Can we?
Or so I thought.
Can we weather? I don't, I'm done weathering, bro. I don't trust nothing. If we're not up by 17 goals, I'm not.
It was super frustrating because it all starts off of a goal kick. Tim Melia sends it deep. We don't win possession. St. Louis
never win possession on a goal kick.
No, you know, St. Louis gets the ball. Rosero was way high up because he was trying to get a header. He didn't win it. Shalloway can't quite deflect the ball. And where this really went wrong, Totland is screaming up the field for St. Louis. And for whatever reason, the fatal mistake was Tim Leibold decided to leave his feet and go to ground in the same way that Jake Davis did a few weeks ago, like we said. He did not have to do this. He was the last guy there. So there was two risks. Either you're going to get a red card and be sent off for fouling, or if you don't get it absolutely perfect, then now you have a one-on-one breakaway. He had the angle where if he could have kept running, he could have just ran with Totland and forced him wide, forced him back. We would have won this game. But instead, he goes to ground. Totland keeps possession. And then he sends it past Melia, who has no choice but to try to come out of the net. And I don't know if you saw the emotion of all of the Sporting Kansas City players as soon as that ball hit the net. Melia slams the ground. Everybody else is just hands on the knees. All looked like they were in tears.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
Oh, it was messed up, man. I hate these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I hate these comeback feelings, and you sit there all that time, and we're making mistakes. We're scoring excellent, tactful goals. You know what I mean? We're making stuff happen and being creative, but then we're losing games because of the mistakes we made, not because the other team was better.
Yeah.
I hate that so much because it's like, dude, can you imagine what we could be? Like, I know we sound like we're just very whiny, like, oh, we could be on top, but maybe the referees. Come on, we'd be excellent.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is like, the ref was bad in this game, but the ref didn't leave his feet with 60 seconds left in the game and go to ground unnecessarily. The ref didn't give up a one-goal lead with a minute to go. The ref hasn't dropped. You cannot blame referees for dropping 12 points from a winning position at home over five games.
Yeah.
That's just that. That is a problem that, for whatever reason, this team has a real difficulty closing out games. And Peter, we read his quote. He doesn't seem to be worried about it, which I guess, you know, the question would be, well, at what point does it become a concern? He's not going to answer that question. So that's why things like that, the questions like that don't work. But what Johnny said after the game, you know, I put up a thread of some quotes. I'm not going to read every single one, but he said the performances are there. That's the most frustrating part. We're getting the lead and continuing to give those leads away. We've had three games at home over the stretch where we're looking to take maximum points, and we've taken 2 points. And that, I mean, we talked about this weeks ago. We're like 10 points of this next six-game stretch. And they started off well, and then they just kind of fell apart.
Blew it. Totally
and
blew it, yeah.
It's just, it's frustrating. John, he continued to say, you know, we have to fix it. There's no point in continuing to say we have to fix it. We know what we have to do. We're not going to accomplish what we want to accomplish by dropping points. And then this is sort of an encapsulation of what I felt when we walked into the locker room postgame. He goes, 95% of the game, we show what we're about, and then moments of just madness from us. We just continue to shoot ourselves in the foot, and it's so frustrating to look around the locker room and see the dejected faces. We have to lift our spirits. In those moments, we're weak. There's no other way to put it. As a team, we lose something. When something goes against us, we are not responding well. That's up to us as players, me as a captain, to figure out how it changes, and it has to change quick. It's a very telling statement to say that there are moments of weakness, and when something goes against them, they lose something. That's a mentality issue. And yes, I appreciate what Johnny is saying, because Peter Vermes isn't the one out there playing. I appreciate he's saying it's on us as players and me as a captain to figure it out. I also think that's part of what it means to be a coach, is figure out psychologically and mentally, how do you keep your team in it? And if the same thing is happening five times in five games, then maybe you got to change something tactically to keep it from happening. I don't know. It's just very frustrating.
You would think so, man. I'm not worried though, right? Because it's not even May yet, sure. But still, we weren't that much better this year than last year at this point. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's what's interesting. Sam McDowell, he quoted some of the quotes that I put up from Johnny, and he said, and I think there's some merit to this, I'd argue that SKC should be more frustrated this April than last April. They are better, clearly better, yet have only two more wins than this time last year and have played six of their nine games at home. A playoff team with ability to be more, but continues to put themselves in a tougher spot every week. I think that's just truly the most frustrating part, is that they are doing this to themselves. They are self-inflicted problems. You would like to think that means it's easy to fix. But even Eric Tommy last night, he was like, it's not just like one thing where you can just point to and be like, ah, yes, we just fixed that, and then it's all fine. Like, it's a combination of things that almost makes it harder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where that leaves Sporting Kansas City after the draw is 10th place, 11 points through nine games. That's obviously just outside the playoff line. Good news is first place team is only 5 points ahead. So again, there's that compression from early season. But, you know, we talked about it. You win some of these games, you know, even if you win half of the points that you've dropped at home, instead of dropping 12, you drop six. That puts Kansas City in first place in the West.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a sign of encouragement. You do fix this, and then you're right there. But I think it's fair at this point to wonder, the situation is different than it was last year. Last year, everybody was injured, and then they came back, they got healthy, and they went on their run. People are by and large healthy this year.
Yeah, we're good. Can't make that excuse anymore. Like, we can't use it.
Right. So what do you do? And I don't know. I did see somebody comment again that, you know, it doesn't seem like Peter trusts his bench, and I think maybe there's some merit to that. I'd like to maybe see if you don't think that Johnny's fully fit right now to go full 90, maybe put Tommy back in the midfield. Try putting Alanis Vargas at right wing. Change up that, like, his speed, his pace, see if he can do something a little different. I don't know.
I'm surprised we didn't see Vargas as well, you know? He's usually been, like, late-game subs, you know?
Yeah, I am too. So, but like you said, if you are a neutral, this was an entertaining game. Peter called it as much entertaining. There's a whole article on MLSsoccer.com. Sporting Kansas City and St. Louis City deliver another classic great derby. So this is quickly becoming one of, I would say, the premier rivalries in Major League Soccer, which is kind of cool because we haven't really had that ever.
No, I think it's great, man. I mean, there was something posted that said that they're giving El Tráfico a run for their money. You know, the LA teams have their rivalry, and if ours is the next one, like, what's our rivalry called, though? There's no name yet, right?
They tried Darbecue. I don't think that really stuck. I halfway jokingly last year called it like the Soccer Capital Derby or whatever, because there was that whole thing that happened. I don't know that there's been a name that I've heard that really stuck.
You would probably just call it the I-70 Derby, right?
You could do I-70, although I think the Royals and the Cardinals had like the I-70 series that they call it there.
Sure.
So
I'm in the same city. I don't know.
I don't know. It's an interesting one, but it is definitely, you know, after 2013, I think there was a period of like 3 to 5 years in particular where like I really hated Salt Lake City and Real Salt Lake because of just the classic matches we had. I still don't like Salt Lake as a team, but you know, time passes, that dies down a little bit. I had a period of that with Houston. Time passes, that dies down a little bit. Still don't like them. This St. Louis is going to be different. We could both be you know, bottom of the barrel teams, and when Sporting Kansas City and St. Louis play against each other, it's going to be fun, insane rivalry, I think, no matter what.
Oh, so, yeah.
That's cool to have because we haven't had that ever.
It is. I try to go to, you know, every time they're in town. That's why I really made an effort to try to go to both games last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, I don't want to miss either one, especially not the St. Louis game. Just the atmosphere is just unmatched as opposed to any other game we play at home.
For sure. What do you think of the halftime light show that Sporting?
That was something, wasn't it?
That's pretty cool.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I was like, I'm highly entertained right now.
It was really cool. I mean, just
the fire going in tandem with the drums and shit. I was like, this is another level.
It's
easily entertained.
It was a very good addition to the game day atmosphere, doing some things like that. So shout out to whoever made those decisions, because that was very cool.
We always roll out the red carpet for St. Louis's fans, though. We don't do this shit every game. Even the guy, I can't remember who sang the national. No, I wasn't there for the national anthem. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was talking about the Casey Kerr game.
The guy who sang the national anthem, he's sung it a bunch of times. I forget his name, but you'd recognize him. You see him, you're like, oh, it's him. He's back.
Yeah. But they always want to make a big impression, and it's like even the guy next to us goes, do you guys do this all the time? And I was, yeah. Marissa's like, no, we don't.
It was, they had an F-35 flyover at the Sporting
game. Okay. See, we don't do that every game.
Yeah. So, the pyro budget was definitely increased for this game.
Yeah, it was. I liked it, though, man. It's usually you see fireworks afterwards, but I love a halftime show way more than a post-game show.
Yeah.
Like, you're forcing me to stay after, watch some fireworks. Man, you got 15 minutes at halftime. You have me.
Do something.
You have my attention.
Give me a light show or give me some dogs trying to set world records with Frisbees.
Yeah, so Casey Current did a drone show at the end, and I'm like, I assume a lot of people stayed for that. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of it. It looked cool. I didn't know how well people could see it with the overhangs.
Someone told me a lot of the drones were falling out of the air.
For real?
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but she said. They were like dropping like flies.
Oh, no. Well, I didn't actually get to see the flyover at Sporting Stadium because wherever they flew, like just from my angle, I couldn't see it. Heard it, but I couldn't see it.
That's interesting.
But the light show was very cool. I mean, they do the fire in pregame, and they do a little bit of a light show in pregame. It's usually not.
I'm into it.
So
I love the fireboxes, man. I wish we had more fireboxes. I wish it was WrestleMania 41 up in here, dude.
You mentioned both games, you know, and being at both games. And I do just think this is kind of cool to point out because I agree with this. Zach is here on Twitter. He wrote a tweet that he goes, KC soccer fans showing out for their men's and women's team while they played at the same time, all while a Royals game is being played at the same time, is better evidence of how special this soccer community is than all the people who came to the Messi game. And I think there's probably some truth to that because we knew Messi's selling out every city he goes to because he's Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
But the fact that we can have two simultaneous professional soccer games going on, sell all those out, and like you said, the Royals game's also going on that would draw some sports fans away. It's really cool to show how well this city, this metro area supports soccer, both men's and women's.
I'd be interested to know how many people did what I did and like trying to hit both as much as both games as possible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we couldn't have been the only ones. That's a brilliant idea.
Definitely not. Before we log off here for this episode, there was some other news that involves Sporting Kansas City outside of the game. We did find out our Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup opponent. It'll be May 8th, 7 p.m. Central Time. We're going to Nebraska to play Union Omaha at Coniglia Field, which is going to be significantly smaller than Children's Mercy Park.
Not enough fans are going to be allowed to travel like this. You're not going to be able to fill this place up, you know?
Yeah. It's a bummer that because if, especially with all the drama around the Open Cup this year and Sporting were in it, then it could have been cool to sort of make a statement like, oh, yeah, we will actually support this with 20,000 fans. I don't know what the capacity of Coniglia Field is, but I've seen a seating chart and it's not very big.
Are you going to try to go up there?
It depends on what's going on that week. I'm going to be out of town for work the week before, so it might be hard to then turn around.
Always out of town for work.
That's been busy. If I do go, I may try to make like a day trip of it. Like, I'm not going to stay overnight, I don't think.
You know what your life is? What? Your life is work trip, Disney World. Work trip, Disneyland.
Well, and I got family that live in LA. It makes that a little easier.
I know. It's like I'm visiting family, but also Disneyland.
Right. If I don't have to pay for lodging, then I have more money to spend on other things.
It's pretty dope, though. It's like that doesn't sound half bad, man. Go to a work trip. It's not all that exciting. Disney World.
Yeah. 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 Well, when I had my work trip in Orlando, I was like, I have no choice but to add a couple days on and then just go to Disney World for a couple days. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. That or Universal or both. Absolutely.
Yeah. But are you going to try to make the trip up to Omaha? I've never been to Omaha, just in general.
I can't, man. I'm in a production.
Oh, that's
a theatrical
right.
production that will have a rehearsal that night. Yeah.
Oh. But, you know, our good friend Bob, who's been a listener from just about day one, I believe, he's up in Nebraska, yeah. So I'm sure he'll be there.
Hang with him?
With a number of his family members. If I can make the trip, I'll say hi to Bob and see what's up. But we'll probably beat Omaha. Like, we should beat Omaha, and it shouldn't be.
Should, right?
But you never know.
I would think we'd probably play some rested guys and not really our top guys.
Yeah, I would think so. Our producer, Nick, is shocked I've never been to Omaha. And yes, I know. I know it's a quick trip. I know the zoo is supposed to be great. I mean, people like Omaha. It's like
zoos are horrible. Hours. Don't support zoos.
It's a quick drive, but, you know, I'll get there one day.
But why? What's in Omaha besides the zoo? What would you ever need to go for?
Union, Omaha? I don't know.
No, I get it. And there's no disrespect to anyone who lives there. I'm just saying, like, why do you need to go there? What's going to take you there where you're like, I got to visit Omaha, Nebraska?
I don't know. People keep telling me about the zoo, and I think that's about it.
See, zoo people are the weirdest, dude. Don't do what they ask you to do. You might as well go talk to an AEW fan or something.
Wrestling shots fired.
Wrestling shots, baby. We got Monday Night Raw coming.
We do. We'll be at Monday Night Raw next week. If you're going to be at Monday Night Raw next week in Kansas City, let us know. We'll say, well,
hell yeah.
I wonder if Tucker's going to be there. Tucker's a big WWE fan, it seems.
We will say, what's up?
A little R-Truth, awesome truth. So we'll play Union Omaha on May 8th. And then the other thing that I think is just worth mentioning, it's not surprising, but defender Courtney Ford announced on his Instagram that he has officially retired from professional soccer.
This is frustrating.
He said that he recently received the news that he needs a full knee replacement and has no choice but to step away from the game.
That sucks, dude. You cannot play soccer with a knee replacement. Absolutely not.
It's awful. I mean, he had his ups and downs in his career. He had all the talent in the world. There was so much potential there. He played for Colorado, obviously had some time in the USL, came back to his hometown, Sporting Kansas City, because he's from Olathe. And there was a lot of potential. I mean, he was, before he injured his, was it his Achilles before last year? Yeah. There were some people who thought he might be a starting center back.
Yeah, there were.
And it just, it didn't work out for him. And that's a real bummer.
Bro, a lot of people like try to put off replacements as much as they can because they know once they get a replacement of some kind, hip, knee, whatever, that whatever you're into that's active like that, like high intensity, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I need hip replacements, but I don't want to give up my like squatting and jumping and lunging that I like to do for working out. I don't want to do that yet.
Right. Yeah.
I feel so bad for Courtney, dude, who's had to quit like this job for so long of his, and that dream, you know.
Yeah,
it's just done.
I've heard, you know, it's hard enough as a professional athlete once you decide to hang them up to transition out of that life because it's so much your focus. To have it taken away from you when it's not really your choice, I imagine is even more difficult, especially at the age he's at. He's not all that old, and he's just battled through injury after injury for and some of them kind of freak injuries for his entire career, and so that's just a bummer. He did just say at the end of his post, he goes, I'm proud to announce that we will be opening a brand new indoor soccer facility called Prestige Indoor Sports in August. So he's got to still be around the game in some way. So that's cool. Good for him.
Pretty neat. Pretty neat.
But let's see here. Outside of that, was there anything else that caught your eye this week in the world of MLS? I mean, Messi's continuing to be Messi, and it's annoying, but
he's pretty great, isn't he?
Top. Yeah, turns out Messi's good.
It's unbelievable. I don't know how to feel about it, man. He had a part in all three of their goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the dude comes here and he's just like, stupid Americans, I'm about to run wild on these fools.
I mean, you know, we don't yet know what our opponents for next week, Minnesota, what happened to them this week, because we're recording before they kick off against Charlotte FC Sunday evening. So we will be traveling up to Minnesota next week to play them. It's again, now we're going to be on a little two-game road stretch for Sporting KC that suddenly becomes very important to get points from because we're dropping points at home. So hopefully we can beat Minnesota next week. But I don't know.
You also got CONCACAF Champions Cup returning next week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or this week, I guess. Sorry.
Columbus against Monterey on Wednesday night. So that'll be pretty interesting because they are the only MLS team left. So,
yeah. And it's going to be a challenge. Right? I got to root for them, but Monterey is something else.
Monterey is a very good team. We know all too well how good Monterey is as a Sporting KC.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but Columbus needs to tack on a bunch at home and then be like, okay, mm-hmm. now let's go play defense.
Have a 2-3 goal cushion at home if at all possible. You know, yeah. That's what you got to do. So, totally. At least limit away goals, too. Don't let them get away goal. So, was there anything else that stuck out to you, or you feel good about where we're at this week?
I think things are good, man.
Yeah,
I don't know what to expect from Minnesota, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, Minnesota. You know, they're always, it seems, a challenge for us, and going up to Minnesota. You know, they have a very good stadium. They are about where we are in the table right now. We both have 11 points. The difference is they've played 7 games to our 9, so they're at 1.57 points per game to 1.2 for us. We have scored significantly more goals than Minnesota, but they have allowed significantly fewer goals than we have this year, so it's going to be sort of a battle of strengths with these two teams. So we'll see what happens. I mean, that's kind of what it was against Toronto. We had scored a lot more. They'd allowed a lot fewer, and we went up there, and we were able to make some things happen against Toronto, so maybe we do it again in Minnesota. But we'll see.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Bummer that we couldn't hold on to the win and get a victory pod, but we'll see if we can do it next week in Minnesota. But in the meantime, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at nootherpod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMac03. Shoot us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com. Check us out on YouTube, KCSN Soccer on YouTube, or through the Kansas City Sports Network app. And leave us that 5-star rating and review. But until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
Dropping pods on a Monday.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.